Our second scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. Again, I read from the Revised Standard Version. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
One returned to speak with him. Two were walking and talking about the events of Easter and were wondering what would happen next. He joined them as they walked and talked. After fishing all night, they arrived on the shore and joined him for breakfast. "Remember me. Do this in remembrance of me." Friedrich Buechner, who you've heard me quote often, writes, "When you remember me, it means that you've carried something of who I am with you, that I've left some mark of who I am on you. It means that you can summon me back to your mind, even though countless years and miles may seem to stand between us. It means that if we meet again, you will know me. It means that after I die, you can still see my face and hear my voice and speak to me in your heart. For as long as you remember me, I'm never entirely lost." We all have to be reminded that the past and the present are not all that there is. The disciples would find this out after the cross and after resurrection. The one with this terrible disease discovered it as well. There's also what John Claypool has termed the great not yet. From the biblical perspective, the future is more important to God than the past. And what we can yet become is of greater value than what we used to be. You see, in God's economy, there's always something more. Even in moments when life's changes and events and circumstances come to an end, there is still the great not yet. There is still more. A time to remember. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He turned back from going his own way, from some self-justification, from the protection and distance that was surely his as he'd walked away. And he comes and lays at the feet of Jesus. And there he proclaims his ultimate dependence on God. In the end, gratitude is an expression of our need for others, and is our expression of our need for God. Psalm 150, the final psalm of David, is truly a psalm of praise. We've heard it read. We've sung the words. It causes us who worship to glorify God, to know who is to be praised, why he is praised, how he is praised, and who is to praise him. The whole psalm is about the wonder of God and the affectious character of celebrating God's glory. If you count, and I did, the word praise is used 13 times in only 6 verses. Every instrument, every person, and in the end, every living creature on earth discovers its ultimate purpose in glorifying and enjoying and praising God forever and ever. Amen. How are we to praise the Lord? In short, the psalmist suggests, according to the Lord's surpassing greatness. The psalm does not say we're to praise God according to God's actions. Instead, we are to praise God according to God's very being. So it's not about what happens or doesn't happen, but it's about God and praising him. Why did the one who was healed from leprosy return to thank Jesus? Why did the other 9 not come to offer their praise and thanks? The only real difference in the one and the other 9, 2 simple words. Thank you. Words of praise to Almighty God. It first appeared as a red, scaly patch on the arm. You thought it would surely go away. So you tried to hide it, but it kept getting bigger and bigger. And then your skin started to flake off. As you scratched and scraped to try to rid your arm of this patch, the sores began to develop deeper and deeper. No longer able to hide it from others, you had to first go to the priest. When you enter into the priest, his first words were to you, unclean, unclean. The next words out of his mouth were, get out of town. There was no more disease then that was terrible than leprosy. It was literally a living death. Josephus, in his historical records, declared that lepers were treated as if they were, in fact, dead people. For other diseases, there were rabbinic remedies, but for leprosy, there was none. If ever the disease did cure itself or stop its growth, then it had to be because of God's grace and presence. Everywhere we go today, especially during this past flu season and cold season, now even with allergies and all the pollen, we have our antibacterial and anti-hand sanitizers with the promise that if it kills 99.9% of the germs without water, keep those hands clean and away from your face. We are a health-conscious people, and we should be. But Judaism was health-conscious as well. If you read the book of Leviticus, you can just see how many teachings centered on the health of the people. The laws on leprosy were designated to protect the healthy from the sick. Contact with a leper meant defilement. The law enumerated 61 different contacts, and defilement with contact with a leper was only worse than contact with someone who had died. Hear this. If a leper so much put his head inside your house, everything in it became unclean, even the beams of the roof. It was a terrible, terrible existence. Luke in his gospel provides for what has been called the travel narrative. From chapter 9, verse 51 through 19, verse 27, Jesus is on the way to the cross. On his way to Galilee, he stops in all places, Samaria, the place that usually you avoided. It was here in Samaria that he encounters a group of 10 men, lepers. They had come together in their own way to form a group, to share in their misery and their plight, to live together, to travel together because they could not be anywhere else. No hope characterized their existence. As they approached Jesus, their hope was for some pity. Maybe he would help them in some way. But asking for one thing, they were given something else. And while obeying his instructions to go from this place to the priest for certification of their condition, all 10 were healed of the leprosy. This terrible disease was gone from their body. These who were unclean were now clean. Your faith has made you well. Were not all 10 healed? Did they not express faith when they obeyed the master's command to go and show themselves to the priest? Sure they did. But Jesus seems to suggest that this one was the only one who had true faith. Could it be? Could it be that gratitude and praise and thanks is an essential element of one's faith and proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Offering words of thanks, showing the generosity, this leper returned to thank Jesus, was showing that it was not just about him. It was about God. It was about remembering. God chose to do this. It was not something that this one leper nor the other 9 lepers did. Being grateful as we awaken to the gift of each day is part of the great not yet. Alan Culpepper writes, and I quote, "Are we self-made individuals and beholden to no one? Or are we blessed daily in ways we seldom perceive, cannot repay, and for which we often fail to be grateful? Are we beholden to no one? Can we not repay gratitude? Can we not be grateful? Here is the barometer of one's spiritual health. And although gratitude is not synonymous with faith, neither response of faith nor gratitude can be separated from the other. Look at the leper." It was the 10th leper's faithful, unattained gratitude for God's mercy that we see played out, and faith is restored. That day, the lives of 10 individuals were changed forever. All were healed of the disease, but one returned to give thanks, and everything changed. As we all know, everything must change. We often do not like to hear that. We are indeed creatures of habit. We like our space and our safety and our time. We know them well. When change happens, our anxiety kicks in. The leper wondered what would be next. But the good news for the leper's life as it changed, as our lives as they change, there is one thing that does not change. God is always there. He doesn't change. In the book, The Good and the Beautiful God, James Bryan Smith writes about a story that reminded me of my childhood days, even my days as a young adult. Riding the Scrambler. Anybody ever ride the Scrambler? This young boy and his father were at the fair, state fair, somewhere. Davidson County Fair. Riding the Scrambler. It's one of those rides that looks fun, but it can throw you around as it spins you back and forth. That's what the Scrambler means. So as the father and the son rode the ride, they were tossed to and fro, whipped from one side to another, and the Scrambler lived up to its name and reputation. But after they got off, the father felt bad. He felt as if he encouraged his son to ride the wrong ride, and they should not have done that. After eating a bite, sitting back and relaxing, the father turned to his son and asked, "What do you want to do now?" What do you think the boy said? "Go ride that Scrambler again." The father said, "Were you not scared?" The boy said, "Of course not." The father said, "Why not?" "Because I was with you." Change can be difficult. It can cause great anxiety. But if we are in the right company, we can pass right through change. And everything must change. That is life. However, as we express our gratitude for this life and the ride of a lifetime on the Scramblers with God, we are indeed the ones who are blessed because He is with us. We realize that, yes, life changes, but Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is the truth and the gospel and the good things. So let every being, let every creature breathing praise God. The psalmist tells us to do that. The leopard showed us to do that. And we know that in our relationship with each other, as we thank you and express our gratitude, it is because of that two-way street that our faith and our walk continues and we become the body of Christ in this time and place. To praise God, to express our gratitude, is in essence to say two words: thank you. Our praise and our gratitude help us to see our dependence on another person or group who have made life possible for us. I hope you will allow me a moment to share some gratitude. I was a fortunate young man. I didn't know it. When in 1957, my parents, Paul and Frances Wilson, gave birth to their last and best child. I tried to remind them of that often, even though my father informed me that I was a mistake. They loved me, and thanks to them, I was able to form a relationship with Christ. It was the First Baptist Church of Red Springs that both nurtured me and ordained me into the ministry. Then it was in 1975, I began a journey to Wingate College for 4 years. I was just not taught by the folks at Wingate, but engaged and supported and loved. It was there that Sandra and I met after she chased me down on the campus. And in 1980, we started a lifelong love affair. And I must say thank you to Sandra, because she's got to put up with me more than you now. Besides my home church, there were three church families that helped to mold my life and my ministry. First was the First Baptist Church of Marion, North Carolina. Second was the First Baptist Church of Albemarle, North Carolina, and then this wonderful congregation of the First Baptist Church of Lexington. For 36 years in ministry and labor together with the church in Marion and Albemarle, and now here, I've shared a love and a deep abiding commitment in Christ with all of these wonderful congregations, including you. And all these places and events and individuals like Betty and David and Bobby and Burns and Tom and Dewey and Hoke and Ray and Al, and the list goes on and on. To those I need to thank and express my gratitude, for they have made my life possible. But thank you to First Baptist Lexington for all the love, support, guidance, and grace and forgiveness and healing you have given to me and to Sandra and to our extended families. As I said, this church is the most church that I have ever known or ever will know. You have been church to us, to this community, and to so many others. And I, for one, have had the honor and the privilege to see that happen up close for these 29 years. Thank you, God. So in closing, I'm glad we chose to ride the ride together. Getting off is hard, but I'm so thankful that we rode together, because you were there, made all the difference, and we will remember. In God's economy, in God's promises, there's always something more. The one leper who returned to express his gratitude was told by Jesus, "Your faith has healed you and saved you because you said thank you and you gave glory to God." Thank you, First Baptist. For these years, we've healed and saved and walked faith in faith and inspired each other. You've given witness to the glory of God, and I've been blessed by you. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we gather in this place to sing your praises each and every day, especially on the Sabbath. We gather during the week to uphold each other in our suffering, in our pain, in our joy, to praise one another. We've been on a mission and a ministry together, and you have blessed us, and you will continue to bless us. You will continue to lead us and give us strength, because you are the constant, O God, and we would not be here today, nor tomorrow, nor the great not yet, if it were not for God's economy and grace and love. We are who we are because of each other, because of the cross and the empty tomb, because Jesus lives in us. Thank you, God, for the ride together. May it continue always. Amen.